Blackjack, The Dawning of the New Great Age of Satan, published by Trine Day. Kent, I want to thank you for being on In Other News and bringing this really powerful and fascinating research into the public domain. Again, thank you for being on In Other News.
Well, thank you, and I really enjoyed the conversation.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.
This is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
This station is so significant for me. I remember the days that we were fighting against the overuse of stop and frisk. No other station would cover the conversation and inform the listeners.
Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams.
The acronym for WBAI is where badass insurgents learn how to get their information out in a clear way. This station must survive. Connect the dots. There's a movement to destroy independent communications across this entire country, and this has become ground zero. We must do all that we must do. Roll up our sleeves, put Vaseline on our face, take our heels off, get into a deep fight, because we're about to fight to keep this station alive. Whose station?
Our station.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Well, locally controlled means that the person at the controls knows what they're doing. But as you heard Linda saying, and oh, they made a mistake. They called that guy Brooklyn Borough President. Gee, he's been mayor for hours. At any rate, this is indeed listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI in New York City, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Stay tuned for Hour of the Wolf.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a usually weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name's Jim Freund. This morning, well, we're going to call it a soft launch. We'll have music, we're going to hear a brilliant radio drama reading by Richard Dreyfuss, no less, and miscellany. Stay tuned. Once again, good morning. So, let me explain that comment that I made about being a soft launch. Hour of the Wolf has a long and varied history of time slots. For quite a while, it was very stable. And then, 11 or 12 years ago, things got shook up. And since then, we've been in all these different time slots. And I thought I would give a little history of the show. Or I don't know, maybe I should save it for next week. I was thinking of doing a music show this week, an all-music show, but then I realized, I'm back to 2 hours. Previously, 1 hour. Something I was not used to. And I thought I'd fill some time. And I thought, by his bootstraps, by your bootstraps? Heinlein, great, great, great story. By his bootstraps. As produced, about 1990 for a radio drama series initially intended for WBAI. Not for BAI, as a matter of fact, for KPFK, our Los Angeles station. And they got no less of a reader than Richard Dreyfuss. And there are some funny anecdotes about that, in that the people who at that time were called Dove Audio are now called Skyboat Media. And I work with Skyboat Media. They turn out 6 podcasts a month for 3 magazines. It's 2 podcasts per magazine. And I'm the host of one of those podcasts. And I am the post-production editor, the audio editor for all 6. That sometimes can be quiet during the holiday week. We've had slack time. Sometimes it can be busy. This coming week, I've got 3 hours or so. But the readers are magnificent, and the stories tend to be top-notch. The editor, the publisher, I should say, is Adamant Press, run by John Joseph Adams. And The magazines are three. Lightspeed Magazine, which has won 2 Hugo Awards for the podcast and the magazine. I dare say we would have won more. But the thing is that they put us into the semi-pro category as opposed to the pro zine category. And it's a thin line between the two. I'm not sure I know the difference. But every year in which we were eligible to run, we won. Then we have Nightmare Magazine, which is, of course, horror. And I'm the host of Lightspeed Magazine, by the way. And the host of Nightmare Magazine is our friend Terrence Taylor, who hasn't been on the air in quite a while, something we're going to repair. He's had health issues. I don't mean COVID. I mean nervous, as in a nerve in his leg was shot, and he was on his scooter and on 4th Avenue and got hit by he doesn't know what, because he became totally unconscious and stuff like that. But he is still writing. He's also the book critic at Nightmare Magazine. And we'll have him back with us in but a little while, I am sure. And the third host is the co-producer at Skyboat Media, formerly known as Of Audio, Gabrielle DeCure. And oh my God, does she do a job. I hardly have to do anything on the post-production for that. Sometimes on the story, yes, but on what she does, oh, it's amazing. Imagine, I don't want to say Elvira on radio, but she can do that maniacal laugh and talk about the stories. And she's, I do a straightforward announcing, hello, and welcome to Lightspeed Magazine kind of thing. And Terrence, with Fantasy Magazine, I said he was Nightmare, I was wrong. It's Fantasy Magazine, and it's Gabrielle does Nightmare. Terrence does this, hello, I'm that little voice outside your window beckoning you to come outside and imagine things with me. And, well, Gabrielle is just, does an incredible acting job on Nightmare Magazine. It's a lot of fun and very, very little for me to do, as I said, except when it comes to the story itself. And that depends on who the narrator of the story is. Anyhow, I suggest that you look those up. It's all free. And it's all commercial free, except, you know, self-promotion, as in, you know, Skyboat Media might promote their latest audiobook. One of which might be, oh, for example, they have an audio book out called Chatting Science Fiction. Oh, that's me. Yeah, that's a bunch of interviews that were recorded not at WBAI, but ostensibly for WBAI. But I used my own equipment and everything. I got these at conventions and stuff. And there's some pretty good stuff on there, if I say so myself. I'm going to have to offer that as a premium. Maybe next week. See? Okay, I'm going off in 9 tangents. Next week, I'm preempted. Okay, I should explain a little something. Boy, I digress. And when I digress, I sometimes even lose track. But okay, let's just go. This is what's going on with the station and Hour of the Wolf in general. Then a little history of Hour of the Wolf. And then some music. Or radio drama. Depends on how long I blather about. But one thing I got from our program, because I would usually play, 15, 20 minutes of music and then dive in, or I would play Dan Persons doing his movie review. We will have one this morning, but not right at the top. I would have it right at the top. And it is the opinion of our program director, and I listened to her carefully, that, and anybody I've told this to says, you know, she's right, Jim, huh? So I guess I do. She said, when your show starts, people want to hear you. You say it's freeform radio, and yes, it is. As I was telling Sean Rhodes, the person on duty for this time slot, I'm sorry. I'm looking at... Somebody's tweeting about the fact that I'm on the air. That's very nice, even if it is my partner. Anyway, you see, now, there I did it. I did it. I digressed myself out of what I was talking about. Okay, Linda Perry Barr said, people want to hear you at the beginning of your show. And so, yeah, and with all the changes that I've been making and the whole time during the pandemic, which began with me on hiatus for about 6 weeks, and then in different slots here and there, moving around, I can see that. So I am in the process of sort of not changing the topic of the show, but I'm going to pay more attention to the freeform aspect of it. I am one of the few, one of the treasured few, that are actually allowed at this point to come in to the radio station and do their show. For the last, since March 20, I have been pre-recording it at home and emailing it in. And I may occasionally revert to that as well, or I may also start using this software that allows me to talk from home, but I won't be able to play music. I won't be able to run the console that I'm currently sitting at, as if I know how to do it now. Sean would be doing that. And he had a brilliant idea. I said, yes, but then if I'm taking calls, how do I tell you dump that call and go on to the next? If it's simply, you know, well, let's just say a less than welcome call. And he said, we'll be on Zoom. We can be on Zoom and just use the chat board. I thought, ooh, that's cool. That's spiffy. So we may try that. I may be broadcasting at times from home. I will, however, generally be live, because taking listener calls on the air is something I've really not been able to do for nigh on 2 years now. I asked for calls 2 weeks ago when I was last on, and they started coming in right as I was playing my outro music. So I'm going to be playing with the format of the show. Where does the movie review come in? Do I want to add a book review to the show? Do I want to create a sort of called a subsidiary show, a podcast, which will include the show and some other things like, as I say, book reviews? We already have Dan Persons doing wonderful movie reviews, but Dan tends not to do streaming media. So maybe I'll do some of the streaming media reviews and talk about those, because I certainly do try to keep up with those. And, you know, maybe some other things. Just gaming, yes. Something that I don't personally do, but if you're listening 2 weeks ago, Carlos Hernandez, a wonderful, wonderful writer, is also a game designer. There are a lot of game designers and writers in science fiction, to the point where the Nebula Awards actually give out an award for game writing. I have my own opinion about that. I don't think they should even be giving out awards. He said, nose in air, like I have anything to say about that. For movies, for screenplays, yes, that's writing. But people tend to sometimes like the movies not... You can have some pretty wonderful movies that are wonderful in special effects and light on screenplay. And science fiction and fantasy writers of America, the awards are just should just be for writing, I believe. It's not like the Hugo Awards, which is a fan-given award. It was just given out 2 weeks ago. Damn, I was going to bring the list with me of the winners and boast. Maybe I'll do that next week, if and when I pitch, and boast about how many of the winners have been on this show in the last 2 years, even, in fact, in the last year. Okay. So, format. That was format. Oh, yes, if you are a person who thinks that you can do a professional-sounding recording of a review somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes of a book of a something closely associated with science fiction, and when I say science fiction, I use... a definition that's named after Grandmaster Damon Knight, in fact, the founder of CEFWA, Fantasy Science Fiction Writers Association, initially. Now it's of America, right? Now it's Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association, because, you know, you don't have to be from America to win that award anymore. We have to, you know, broaden our horizons. If you can't broaden your horizons in science fiction, where can you? But Damon Knight had a wonderful definition of science fiction. And everybody had their own. Oh, it's where the science has to be plausible, or it has to be, this or that or other things. Or even people that create clubs that say, you know, I don't know about this speculative fiction expletive. I just want to have the heart, you know, rocket jockey stuff, space opera, things like that. I miss those. And those people call themselves the sad puppies. No big deal. That's fine. I'm sure there are, especially right now, Harry Potter groups and things like that. I think there should be a Terry Pratchett group. Rereading all of Terry Pratchett is what got me through the pandemic. And so on and so forth. The angry puppies were like a radical version of the sad puppy saying, we're going to create a slate of all the people in our organization, which was about 6 or 7 people, and everybody should vote for us. It was quite a conundrum. Anyway, then there are those people that say, well, science fiction is nothing but a subcategory of fantasy. Well, there's an argument there. Start with the idea of fantastic literature, fantasy literature, something that isn't real. Well, the only difference between that and science fiction is that science fiction theoretically could happen in terms of the technologies and stuff. But people say, are you really putting 2001, you know, an Arthur C. Clarke novel into the same category as Tolkien? To which my answer is, yep. I am. And I'll even include horror, although I'm not a big fan of a lot of horror. Then I discovered that my partner, who writes definitely speculative fiction, has been given honors for best horror of the year. She says, I don't write horror. And says in this book here that you do. So what it is, I don't like gore. I don't like, I don't mind the violence and all that. I just don't like to watch gore. There are certain things I just don't go for. But Damon Knight, remember all my digressions? Damon Knight came up with the definition of science fiction, with which I wholeheartedly agree, and I defy anybody to defy that definition. How many ways did I use defy there? Okay, so Damon Knight, allegedly, other people have attributed it to other people, but I remember it as being Damon Knight and David Hartwell and Ted Sturgeon and a lot of people called this the Damon Knight definition as well. Damon Knight said, science fiction is what I am pointing at. I love it. So, we're using a very loose definition of what is and what isn't science fiction. And I once played a story on the air. It was a reading done by this wonderful, mostly editor, but also writer, editor of a national home magazine. I don't want to call it a women's magazine, but, you know, not unlike Good Housekeeping. And he wrote this fabulous story that he read at the KGB Fantastic Fiction reading series. And I invited him on the air to read it. And this is like 15, 20 years ago, so I don't want to say his name, although I think I remember it, but I don't want to be wrong. But at any rate, somebody called up and said, that wasn't science fiction. Nor was it fantasy. Exactly. And I said, did you like it? And they said, oh, yeah, it was very good. I said, mission accomplished. That's my definition of what I accept for science fiction. If you think that you can contribute a regular, doesn't have to be weekly, biweekly, but a regular segment that I might use in a podcast version of this show or within this show itself, depending on its future time slot here, how much time I have, how I'm reformatting, write me. Let me know. Best way is to send me an email, which is Jay Freund. My name is Jim Freund, and Freund is like the German word friend, spelled F-R-E-U-N-D. So initial J, Freund, at ourwolf.com. Our Wolf is, well, you're listening to Our the Wolf over WBAI New York. Might as well get that in. Our Wolf, H-O-U-R-W-O-L-F.com. And this is actually, yeah, we're just a little bit pre-Hour of the Wolf. Hour of the Wolf is the morning dawn. I don't care what you heard on Babylon 5 or what you read by people that it's 3 a.m. or it's the witching hour. Well, the witching hour is midnight or whatever. But the Hour of the Wolf, according to the ancient Romans and according to Ingmar Bergman, who made a movie based on the premise of the ancient Romans, and that's the title of this radio show, comes from that Ingmar Bergman film, is the morning twilight, that crepuscular hour. I guess we get two crepuscular hours because the evening twilight, it's, you know, it's twilight, it's what it is. No shimmering vampires or anything like that. Thank you very much. So, okay, I think I did that portion. And now a little bit of the history of this show. And I'm going to try to keep it short because, hey, I've already gone 27 minutes here. So, Hour of the Wolf began in, believe it or not, 1971. January 1971. How long has this show been on the air? You do the math. I can't. This is 2022. So 122 minus 71. Oh, you figure it out. You do the math. I don't want to start playing with my phone or anything like that. Okay, so. And it began because one of our news people, Margot Adler, who was also pretty much my closest friend, and as close as I had to a big sister, wanted to do a free-form live radio show. And at that point on WBAI, outside of occasionally shows by Liza Cowan or Carol Ratner, live radio, free-form radio, was pretty much an all-boys club. Great boys, but boys. Larry Josephson, Bob Fass, Steve Post, Paul Gorman, Julius Lester. Brilliant, wonderful, wonderful broadcasters. But all boys. Now, we were not a 24-hour radio station. We went off the air anytime after 3 a.m., according to our license. We came on the air with Larry Josephson Monday through Friday at 7 a.m., not 6:59:59 or 7:00:01, but 7 a.m. He liked to be right there with the William Tell Overture. Julius Lester liked the same thing. He would say at 7 o'clock, "Let us summon the dawn." So there was loose time. So Margot talked to the station manager and made a deal that, you know, changes could be made to her salary if she were to get this crepuscular hour time of day for her radio show. She and I went out to a record shop, found Silent Running by Peter Schickele, which I referred to always as a lousy movie with a great soundtrack and decent special effects. But boy, would I never give any kind of award for the screenplay by Steve Bochco, okay? No, not Steve Bochco. Yeah, Steve Bochco and some other person, they collaborated. And that song is second on the album of the soundtrack, The Space Fleet. There are some sung songs where the vocalist is Joan Baez. Later on, it was 1980 when the album Sails of Silver by Steel Eyes Band came out that I made that the outro. But rolling back to where I was, for once, you know, I'm remembering my own arguments with myself, or discussions with myself. I was usually present. So for that, we became a 24-hour station. This did not please some of the other people. That meant that the person who was on starting at midnight, Bob Fass or Steve Post, had to stay on until 5, even if that just meant playing, you know, Mahler or the Ring Cycle or something like that. And then she would start at 5, and she would end at 7 when the person who followed wanted to go on. For weekends, we had Gary Fried doing a show called The Morning After the Night Before from 5 until 8:30. Why that decision was to go till 8:30, I don't know. Our program director of that time was Nanette Raynon, and sadly, neither she or Margot or whoever are around to tell us how this came to be. And Gary was an early victim of AIDS, early enough that It wasn't called AIDS yet. And then on Sunday mornings, I think Chris Wendt already began with his early music show. No, it was Locally. It was Simon Locally, the great, the wonderful Simon Locally, was on from 5 to 8:30. Certainly up until a certain point, certainly up until 1980. Somewhere in there, Chris Wendt was also in that slot. But Adler was accepted to a writer's workshop. She did the show Monday through Friday. 5 days a week, 5 to 7 a.m., 5 days a week. When she went away, she went to this workshop. I was accepted to that very prestigious workshop as well, but I couldn't afford to go. It's 6 weeks long. It was on the West Coast. It was the first time ever this workshop was on the West Coast. And if I stayed in New York, I could take over Hour of the Wolf for the time that she was gone. And I was in on Hour of the Wolf from the very beginning. Monday, she'd often have a co-host. It might be this former news person, public affairs person named Mike Odell. And I remember at least one show with Paul Fisher. Odell went out to the West Coast, and he created his science fiction show called Hour 25. There are people that claim that Hour 25 is older than Hour of the Wolf, to which my answer is, oh, then how is it that he was able to do it on Hour of the Wolf? But anyway, he did a fabulous, wonderful, great show, and I will not diss him. But sometimes, well, you know, the fandom gets a little over-enthusiastic, right? So, Now, Adler, she did just the best radio show ever. She knew, she was a journalist. She was a neo-pagan. She pretty much brought witchcraft, neo-paganism in the Gardnerian tradition to the United States, importing it from England by writing a book called Drawing Down the Moon, which pretty much changed the face of alternative religion in this country. Ask any neo-pagan. They may not know much about Margot Adler, but they've heard of Drawing Down the Moon. I guarantee you that. And that was the first book of its kind, and that really made witchcraft, if you want to call it by that name, acceptable. Some say the craft. But Margot mostly used neo-pagan. And I like that because, after all, we don't know exactly what the old religion had 2,000 years ago. It wasn't written down. You know, first everybody gets into a circle and then the priestess comes out with the athame or stuff like that. Anyway, so Adler covered neo-paganism. And then Thursdays and Fridays, science fiction. And on those days, I was her co-host. We had a name. It was the Thursday Morning Science Fiction Extravaganza or the Friday Morning Science Fiction Extravaganza. And then, at a certain point, people in station management, realizing what a treasure they had in Adler, they gave her an evening time slot, a primetime evening time slot. And I took over Hour of the Wolf. But I do not have the breadth of knowledge or depth of insight that Adler did. I'm not putting myself down. I'm merely praising her. And it was not too long before I was told, okay, you stick with Thursdays and Fridays, Jim, and we'll have different people on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And they had Richard Fioravanti did Wednesdays. I had totally forgotten, but she reminded me just somewhere in the last month. At one point, Linda Perry was doing a show, a fellow named Steve Finkelstein, Joan Hervey. So we had some really, really good shows on at that point. Then a later program director comes in and decides that why does Jim have two and everybody else only gets one? So I was cut down first just to Thursdays and then to Fridays. And then in 1980, Steve Erickson comes in as program director. I thought he would have done a great job if the politics of the internal station politics didn't drive him. Well, it was more trouble than it was worth for him. Let's put it that way. And he was a very good friend of Simon Locley's. They came to the station together, worked together in public affairs department. Locley, at that point, was doing his show called Why the Revolution Hasn't Come, Saturday mornings, 5 till 8:30. Erickson cut Locley's show so that he was on from 7 to 8:30, where those of you who properly love Locley's show, and I may rebroadcast one soon, held court for a very, very long time until his untimely death a few years ago. And I was moved into the early part of his show, 5 to 7 a.m. Well, 5 to 7 I was used to. But Saturdays? I thought, well, at least when I was on Fridays, it was primetime radio. I did not realize that even right now, on Sunday morning at 6:38 a.m. in New York, this is primetime radio. People are driving. Maybe they're going to their church. Maybe they have unusual jobs. But it's a good hour to be on the air. And I thrived on Saturdays from 5 to 7 a.m. and the segue from Habte Selassie to me to Simon to David Rothenberg was a really fun lineup, a really good lineup. And it lasted for years and years and years until the year 2010. Now it's 29 years to 30 years. And the program director of that time did a major reshuffling of our programming, and Hour of the Wolf was no more in that format. I ended up being moved to Wednesdays at 1:30. It actually would have been from 2 to 4 a.m., which is pretty much what we call the death shift, except that Robert Knight, who was on Wednesday nights, midnight to 2, and actually told me several times, if anybody wants to check it out, he said this on the air, that it was because of my show that he was attracted to the station, because I was offering a premium. It was a really cool poster for a Broadway show called Warp, and the poster was done by one of the best artists at Marvel Comics, as was the show. And he came in to pick it up, was autographed and everything like that there. And so Robert was very kind and gave me half an hour of his show so that at least I could be on for 90 minutes. And so I was on Wednesday nights, 1:30 to 3. And then Robert had the misfortune or poor grace or whatever it is you want to call it to die prematurely, to die young. And I was shuffled around here and there a couple of times. And then finally, oh, yeah, I should mention, when I was first moved to Wednesdays at 1:30, it was with a promise that I would be put on at midnight because Robert was going to take his show into the daylight hours. And then I would inherit his slot of Wednesday nights, midnight to 2. But upon his death, that did not happen for various reasons for a couple of years, although it did eventually happen. And And then about 3-4 years ago, I got dumped again. And I've been on weekends, Saturdays and or now Sundays. First time in all these years, over 50 years, I'm on Sunday mornings. And Linda, our program director, has said, this is a pilot, Jim. We want to see if you can build an audience in this slot. And, you know, it's a sad thing that she said, you know, the part of the reason is to raise money. But given the current state of WBAI, raise money we must. I'm not going to get into the politics of the station and the station versus Pacifica and all that, but many people know that 2 years ago, for the second time, our owners took the station off the air, this time actually padlocking doors and stuff like that. It was a whole mess that is, in fact, being discussed by various people in the legal profession as time goes on. And we can't discuss it much. Once we can, I'll share it with you. And you'll hear it from other people on BAI. So, Linda has decided that this slot is to be a pilot. I am to be on weekly. However, you know, I started 2 weeks ago. And then last week, I just sort of took off. I wanted to do The Star by Arthur C. Clarke. As read by Baird Searles, I could not find a copy. This is, again, another plea to the listeners. If you've got a copy of this out there, because a lot of the BAI archives are just decimated, please get in contact with me, jfreund@ourwolf.com. Or you can find me on Facebook and write me on Facebook, although I've been on Facebook sabbatical. Just haven't wanted to log in there for quite a while now. Almost 2 weeks, given that I run about 5 groups there. Not so good. Anyway. So I spoke to the program director, and she said, do you want to take this week off? I said, you know what? Yeah. And she said, oh, good. Because she had that entire day, she didn't have a pre-recorded pitching shift in there. So I took last week off. I'm in this week for the first show of the year, and I'm making this, well, as you can hear, sort of an inaugural show. I'll play some favorite music. I'll play a favorite radio drama. I am telling you this history. And then the week after that, I'm preempted. You see, what we have been doing for, oh, the last 10 years or more is taking off months out of the year in order to raise money because of accrued debts and various things. It's not easy to run a radio station in New York City, perhaps the most expensive market in the world. And we are getting out from under that now. Thank you very much. Thanks to the Tower Fund, the money to pay for our transmitter by going to towerfund.wbai.org or calling 212-209-2950 and pledging to the Tower Fund. We're going to talk about that before this morning is over in a little more detail. Instead, what we're doing is we're devoting a little bit of time on every show to fundraising and daytime programs, which Hour of the Wolf, for the first time, is considered. It's no longer an overnight since we go to 8 a.m. The daytime programs will all be preempted once a month, unless you pitch. I may give it a try to come in next week and have a nice premium for you and to pitch for the entire show and make it entertaining, make it sound like it's a part of the show, except a lot more asking for money. So this is the soft launch. Next week is the week off, whether I am here or not. And after that, we start fully vested with a new era of Hour of the Wolf, what Linda calls a pilot. And I hope that, you're going to get aboard my plane while I pilot. Oh, sorry. Dumb, stupid joke. Why don't we listen to Dan Person's movie review for this morning? And then, we'll come back with a great, wonderful radio drama. Stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, and this is my Hour of the Wolf review. There was a time back in the 70s when movies could actually be dangerous. And I'm not talking Ryan Reynolds swearing in a superhero costume or Johnny Knoxville belly flopping into a pool of farm runoff. I'm talking young filmmakers sticking their collective thumbs in the eyes of the then decaying studio system with films that ran rampant with drugs, sex, violence, and just out there stuff, filmed with equipment that Panavision wouldn't even wipe their posteriors with. This was the breeding ground that gave us Lynch and Waters and Jodorowsky. And then Star Wars came along and everything went back to normal, but let's not dwell on that. In the 1979 Spanish film Arrebato, which has just gotten a 4K restoration and is now available on demand, a dissipated director of not very successful horror films, Jose, played by Eusebio Poncela, is trying to break up with his girlfriend, also not very successfully, when he receives an audio cassette and a reel of Super 8 film from a strange young man, Pedro, played by Will Moore, that he had met while location scouting. When Jose and his kind of ex-girlfriend, Anna, played by Cecilia Roth, take breaks from snorting heroin and having sex, they watch the movie and listen to the tape, in which Pedro recounts his encounters with Jose, shown in flashback, and also describes his explorations into a mysterious form of spiritual vampirism, revealed only through the use of time-lapse photography recorded using a Super 8 camera. Arrebato was the last film done by writer-director Ivan Zulueta, and the format of the story, a young obsessive filmmaker with his amateur equipment, reaching out to the jaded professional, exposing him to something that exists far outside of his conventional frame of reference that challenges him, is especially intriguing, particularly when you consider that this was part of a wave of free expression in Spain that followed the death of dictator Francisco Franco. The film in some ways seems to anticipate Pedro Almodovar, particularly his sex comedy Pepe Lucy Bomb, which was released the year following, and his Hitchcock pastiche Matador from a few years later. Zulueta and Almodovar actually knew each other. In fact, Almodovar dubs the voice of a female character in Arrebato, and it's probably not coincidence that the film's young, obsessive filmmaker is named Pedro. Arrebato was released 3 years after Star Wars, but it still embraces the seat-of-the-pants impertinence that marked the most radical of the 70s filmmakers. I'm not the type to push the they-don't-make-films-like-this-no-more philosophy. Art grows and evolves, and ideally we still have examples of what we've moved away from to enjoy. But I have to say, I do miss the raw unpredictability of 70s film, and I'm glad Arrebato has come back around to remind us of what we once had. For Hour of the Wolf, I'm Dan Persons.
Thank you, Dan. One of the things that I really like about his reviews, one of the things that I'm not always crazy for, which doesn't mean that he should change it, as I said, I'm not into certain kinds of horror. And Dan most certainly is. He's an expert at it and of it. And but he knows his independent and foreign cinema. And this is stuff that I just don't see or hear covered much anywhere, and I really, really appreciate that he does that. I've certainly never heard of this movie, Arrabatto. Okay, I mentioned that I nowadays work with a group known as Skyboat Media that do a wonderful job for Adamant Press, their podcasts. And Stefan Rybnicki and Gabrielle DeCure are the people that run that. Now, for any number of years, I had been in touch with a fellow, one who, alas, has passed away as well, who had done a pilot for a series hosted by Harlan Ellison and with... And the pilot was a Robert Heinlein story. Heinlein's written a lot of, well, jingoistic, I want to say rubbish, but less than admirable literature. It certainly would not pass the litmus test of acceptable politics today. And still doesn't, although for quite a while the libertarians had taken him into his hands. But when he wrote his pure science fiction, it was some of the best, and a lot of it still holds up. Movies, renamed often, are still made. And if you want to get an idea of really bizarre, the most bizarre Heinlein movie, that would be Starship Troopers, done by Paul Verhoeven. Now, that's a jingoistic novel. Although it has some very interesting other progressive points in it as well. But the movie is a satirical comedy. I mean, it makes this current film, Don't Look Up, look like a documentary, which in some ways it is. But people didn't necessarily get that the movie Starship Troopers is a comedy. If you stayed away from it because of its jingoism or turned it down, I suggest watch that movie again. It's very sly how Heinlein pulls that off. Okay, so nowadays I'm working with Skyboat Media. And at that time, I was working with Yuri Rusovsky. I never actually met him, but we were on the phone together. And he was doing stuff for Pacifica and later for NPR. And he was using a company called Dove Audio to actually do the production for him. Well, Dove Audio, I only found out many years later, those are the people with whom I'm currently working. They are Skyboat Media. They are Stefan Rybnicki and crew. So I was nepotistic without knowing it, or, you know, friend, you know. Inviting my friends. Whatever. But to give you an idea of what they are capable of, let's listen to their production of By His Bootstraps, written by Robert Heinlein and starring Richard Dreyfuss.
Bob Wilson did not see the circle grow. Nor, for that matter, did he see the stranger who stepped out of the circle and stood staring at the back of Wilson's neck.
That was rude of me. That was terribly rude of me. But I need to pay attention to some niceties. We're going to start that over again. But since it is now 6:56, I should tell you, since this... short story runs 45 minutes, I need to tell you now that you are tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, web streaming at WBAI.org, because you want to get those breaks in as close to the hour as possible, and better to do it at the beginning of the story than to interrupt you. So we're going to hear that first 20 seconds again, and then, uninterrupted, bring you back to Mr. Dreyfus.
Bob Wilson did not see the circle grow. Nor, for that matter, did he see the stranger who stepped out of the circle and stood staring at the back of Wilson's neck. Stared and breathed heavily, as if laboring under strong and unusual emotion.
Nor is it valid to assume that a conceivable proposition is necessarily a possible proposition, even when it is possible to formulate mathematics which describes the proposition with exactness. Case in point is the spurious concept of time travel. Duration is an attribute of the consciousness and not of the plenum. It has no Ding und Sich. Therefore... Damn it.
Don't bother with it. It's a lot of bull.
Huh? Oh. Thank God, somebody's really there. For a minute, I thought I'd spaced out. Hey. Wait a minute. What are you doing in my room? That door's locked. How did you get in here?
Through that?
That? What the hell? A disc floating in the air. A big circle of nothing, just suspended like a special effect. Oh, my God, I was right the first time. I wonder when I slipped my trolley.
Don't touch it.
Why not?
I'll explain the whole thing, but let's have a drink first.
Hey, what do you think you're doing with my gin?
Your gin? Do you mind if I have a drink?
Can I stop you? Well, I guess it's all right. Pour me one while you're at it.
Okay, then I'll explain.
It better be good.
Cheers.
Who is this guy? Hasn't shaved for days. Looks like he's been in a brawl and gotten the worst of it. What a shiner. Swollen lip. I don't like his looks. But there's something familiar about him. I've seen him before, but where?
Who are you? Me? You don't recognize me?
Should I? Have I seen you before?
Well, not exactly. Skip it. You wouldn't know about it.
What's your name?
My name? Just call me Joe.
Okay, Joe, whatever your name is. Let's hear your explanation, and make it quick.
Fine. That dingus I came through, it's a time gate.
A what?
A time gate. Time flows along side by side on each side of the gate, but some thousands of years apart. Just how many thousands, I don't know. But for the next couple of hours, that gate is open. You can walk into the future just by stepping through that circle.
It's a nice story.
You don't believe me, do you? I'll show you.
Hey, that's my only hat. Don't throw it in. It disappeared. It's gone. Neat trick. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to have my hat back. That hat's seen me through 6 years of academic life.
You can get it for yourself when you pass through.
Huh?
That's right. Now listen, this thing is a time gate. The other side of it is thousands of years from now, and the future is just waiting for you, and it is a great future! Here is an opportunity that comes once in a millennium, if that frequently. Now listen, you have not seen what I have seen. It's beautiful. You understand? And all you gotta do is climb through that circle. Look, it's very important that you hurry and go through. I can't explain it right now, but you won't regret it. Believe me.
I need another drink. Why should I go through this thing just on your say-so?
Oh, damn it. If you just step through once, explanations wouldn't be necessary. Look, on the other side, there's this old guy, see? He needs your help. Where, with your help, the three of us can run the whole country, split everything between us. It's ours for the taking.
What's he need me for?
I'm not sure exactly, but that isn't the point. I mean, what have you got to lose? What's your alternative, huh? A degree, a nice, safe, boring academic career with grading papers and faculty teas, and maybe a research grant or two to while away the lonely hours, huh? Facing a fresh crowd of turkeys every semester. Come on, this is your chance. Grab it.
You have a point. A PhD in teaching in some
backwater college is not my idea of existence. But still, it beats working for a living.
Hey, look at the gin bottle. It's almost empty.
Sorry, old buddy. I'm not going to climb on your merry-go-round. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm drunk. That's why. You're not there at all. And that, your friendly little neighborhood time machine...
Time gate.
Whatever. It's not there either. Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed.
You're not drunk.
I am too drunk. Peter Piper picked a pick of peppered pickles. See? Good night.
You can't do that.
Let him alone.
Now, who is this guy? What is this, open house? Whew. Wish I could focus. Hey, these guys could be brothers. Twins. Which is which? Oh, no, maybe I'm just seeing double. bad stuff, Jin. Should have switched to rum a long time ago. Good stuff, rum. You can drink it, or you can take a bath in it. No, that's Jin. That's Joe. Which one is Joe? Oh, yeah, he's the one with the black eye. Then, who is this other character?
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah, suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're going to louse up the plan.
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello?
Bob Wilson.
Yeah, who's this?
Never mind. Just wanted to be sure you were there. I thought you would. You're in the groove, friend. In the groove.
Hello? Hello?
Creep. What was it?
Nothing, just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor.
There he is again. Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
What a thing to say!
Oh, Lord.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
I'd hope so.
No, you don't understand, honey. A guy has been pestering me over the phone, and I just thought it was him. You know, I'd never talk to you like that, honey.
Oh, I think not, particularly after all you said to me this afternoon about all we meant to each other.
What, this afternoon?
Of course. But what I called about was this. You left your hat at my apartment. I noticed it a few minutes ago and just thought I'd call and tell you. Anyhow, it gave me an excuse to hear your voice again.
My hat? Sure, fine. Look, babe, I'm a little confused. Why don't I come over tonight and straighten it out? I know I didn't leave your hat in my apartment.
Your hat, sweetheart.
Get her off the phone.
All right, yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye.
Well, that woman is getting to be a problem. Hallucinations yet.
Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are.
When did I decide that?
Fine! Just step through.
Wait a minute.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army?
Right, hey, let go of it! Stay out of this!
I got everything under...
Oh!
Are you all right?
Ooh, I guess so. Oh, my mouth hurts. It's swollen. Ooh, yow. My eye feels like a softball.
My head hurts.
No doubt. You came through rather hard.
Came through?
He knocked me right through that thing. That must be the old guy Joe talked about. Middle-aged, beard, funny outfit, purple pajamas. Maybe he's an inmate. This looks like the padded cell of some kind of nut house. Oh, there's that damn circle. Oh, my head.
Where am I?
The Hall of the Gate in the High Palace of Norkal. But what is important is when you are. You have gone forward a little more than 30,000 years.
Now I know I'm crazy.
Where are you going?
Back.
Not so fast. You'll go back all right, I promise you that. But first let me dress your wounds. You need rest as well. I have some explanations to make to you, and there is an errand that you can do for me when you get back, to our mutual advantage. There's a great future in store for you and me, my boy. A great future.
What is this used car salesman routine?
I don't like this.
Wouldn't you like a drink before you go?
Say the secret word, divide $100.
Okay.
Come with me.
Hell of a layout you have here.
It's not mine. Well, rather it is. I inherited it, you could say. It was built by the Grand Ones, as the natives call them.
And what do they call you?
Call me Dictor. Everyone else does.
Okay, Dictor. I'm,
Bob Wilson, I know.
Oh, I guess Joe told you, huh?
I don't know anybody named Joe.
You know? Well, then, maybe you're not the guy that I'm supposed to see.
But I am. I've been expecting you in a way. Joe! It had slipped my mind for a moment. He told you to call him Joe, did he?
Well, isn't that his name?
It's as good as any. Here we are. Sit down.
There's no chair.
The floor is soft. You'll be comfortable.
Oh, you're right. AstroTurf for shut-ins, huh?
Drink up.
Join me?
Later. Let me take care of your wounds first.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Mind if I have another?
Help yourself.
Oh. It's a naive domestic burgundy. Without any breeding. But I think you'll be amused by its presumption. You remember that? It's James Thurber. It's... No. Of course not. You wouldn't remember. It was before your time.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's going to be a good day. Ah, yes, sir. The thesis is done. Hey, no, it isn't.
Hey.
Feeling better?
I do, as a matter of fact. Say, what is this?
We'll get to that. How about some breakfast? Lare kiboto.
Oh, my God.
Dufti nolis, Dictor?
Be still, my beating heart.
Hop to.
Hi, Dictor.
She'll lay the breakfast things out for you. The girl's tray is filled with fruit. None of it will be familiar to you, I'm afraid, but you'll find it quite edible.
I'd like to nibble on her a little bit.
How about a little sunshine? Now, let me start with some background. It's not certain who the Grand Ones were, or where they came from, or where they went when they left the Earth.
I think I just left the Earth. Oh, baby, won't you come with me?
I am inclined to think that they went away into time.
It's time she and I had a little tete-a-tete.
In any case, they ruled more than 20,000 years and completely obliterated human culture as you know it.
What I know is that's a swell outfit she has on, almost.
What is more important to you and me is the effect they had on the human psyche.
If I could probe her psyche, that'd be pretty important.
One 20th century go-getter can accomplish just about anything he wants to around here. Aren't you listening?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure. Say, that is one mighty pretty girl.
Hmm, I suppose so. She's not exceptional as women go around here.
That's hard to believe.
You like her? Very well. She's yours.
What?
She's a slave. Don't react. There are slaves by nature. If you like her, I'll make you a present of her. It'll make her happy. Her name is Arma. Kuiksalai. Touch your forehead.
Choisi fia qui est?
Nemo pleslai choisi. Zobelaram. I told her that, notwithstanding her new status, you wished her to continue serving breakfast. As a matter of fact, another course should be ready just about now. Right on time.
Fifty-nolis, Dictor.
Hop to.
Hi, Dictor.
As I was saying, one 20th century go-getter can write his own ticket here. Of course, responsibilities must be taken seriously.
Maybe I was a little hasty letting this Dictor give Arma to me. This new girl has a certain je ne sais quoi that I would like to qua very much. Either the standard of pulchritude has gone up incredibly in the last 30,000 years, or Dictor goes to a lot of pains with his personal retinue. I don't know what that is you're fiddling with, darling, but if you straighten up soon, you'll make me very unhappy.
For that reason, it is necessary that you go back through the time gate twice more. And after that, it's share and share alike for you and me. And there is plenty to share. You're not listening.
Hmm? Oh, sure. No, I was, Chief. Say, you got a razor I could borrow?
Keep your eyes off the hired help and listen to
Yeah, me. Sure. Hey, listen, I'm your man, you know? When do we start?
Oh, bye-bye, PhD. Hello, pulchritude.
Then come with me.
Where are we going?
Back to the time gate.
These controls difficult to operate?
Not particularly. Now, all you have to do is step through the gate and you will find yourself back in your own room in your own time. Persuade the man you find there to go through the gate. We have need of him. And then come back here yourself.
Piece of cake, Chief.
Wait, you're not used to time travel. I warn you, you are going to get one hell of a shock. This other man, you're going to recognize him.
Who is he?
Well, when you see him, it'll all come clear. Just don't let anything throw you.
Okay.
A paradox, a most amusing paradox.
Spare me the serenade. Everything's ready. Go on through.
Check.
This is my room, all right. Who the hell is that guy pounding on my typewriter? I don't mind the renting my room, but... Wait a minute. That guy does look familiar. If you'd only turn around. Oh, he smokes my brand. Hey, he's wearing my clothes. What nerve! That son of a... Wait a minute. He's wearing the same clothes I'm wearing. How can we both... No, don't tell me. What's he typing? Look at him waste that smoke. Only half burned. I used to do that when I was working. Nor is it valid to assume that a conceivable proposition is necessarily... He's typing my thesis! My God! He's me! Jeez! Gee, oh, Dictor said I was in for a shock. And then again, why should I be shocked? If time travel is possible, why can't I come back and see myself doing something that I did in the past?
Damn it. Don't bother with it. It's a lot of bull. Huh? What are you doing in my room? That door's locked. How did you get in here?
Through that.
That?
Don't touch it.
Why not?
That's a good question. Why did I stop him?
I'll explain the whole thing, but let's have a drink first.
Boy, do I need one.
Hey, hey! What do you think you're doing with my gin?
Your gin?
Huh. It is his liquor. No, it's ours. No. Oh, well.
Sorry. Do you mind if I have a drink?
Well, I guess it's all right. Pour me one while you're at it.
Okay. Then I'll explain.
Better be good.
Cheers.
Look at him. Giving me the once-over. What a jerk. Can he recognize his own face? Well, then again, he's been going at that paper for 30 hours straight. And I have a swollen lip. A black eye. Nuts. Well, if he can't see what the situation is, then how am I going to tell him?
Who are you? Me? You don't recognize me? Should I? Have I seen you before? Well, not exactly.
Don't even bother.
Skip it. You wouldn't know about it. What's your name?
My name?
How do you tell another guy that the two of you are a mite closer than twins?
Just call me Joe.
Uh-oh. Deja vu. This is all a little familiar. I'm Joe. That clears up that little mystery.
Okay. Joe, whatever your name is. Let's hear your explanation, and make it quick.
Where is free will in all of this? I don't have to live this scene again word for word, do I? Hell no, I'll just say something, anything. Mary had a little lamb. Get off this treadmill. come on, do it. Do it! Oh, what the hell?
Fine. That dingus I came through, it's a time gate. A what? A time gate.
Stop me if you've heard this before.
Time flows along side by side on each side of the gate, but some thousands of years apart. Just how many thousands, I don't know.
These are the same goddamn words.
But for the next couple of hours, that gate is open.
Mary had a little time. Its gate is wide as...
You can walk into the future just by stepping through that circle. It's a nice story.
Is that guy me? He's pretty stupid.
You don't believe me, do you? I'll show you. Hey, that's my only hat. Don't throw it in... Neat trick. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to have my hat back. That hat's seen me through 6 years of academic life.
You can get it for yourself when you pass through.
Come to think of it, Dictor must have one hell of a hat collection.
That's right. Now listen, this thing is a time gate. The other side of it is thousands of years.
That's it. Come on, Bob Wilson. Lay it on thick. I can't explain anything to this moron. I do better talking tensor calculus to an Australian Aborigine, and I don't even understand that. And again, do I understand this? You should put that drink down and look intelligent.
Look, it's very important that you hurry and go through. I can't explain it right now, but you won't regret it. Believe me.
I need another drink.
Great!
Why should I go through this thing just on your say-so?
Oh, damn it. If you just step through once, explanations wouldn't be necessary.
Look, on the other side, there's this old guy, see? He needs your help.
Why does he need our help?
With your help, the three of us can run the whole country, split everything between us. It's ours for the taking.
Yeah, that guy Dictor didn't tell me very much, did he?
What's he need me for? I'm not sure exactly. But that isn't the point. I mean, what have you got to lose?
That's it. I'll get him where he lives.
What's your alternative, huh? A degree? A nice, safe, boring academic career with grading papers and faculty teas and maybe a research grant or two to while away the lonely hours, huh? Facing a fresh crowd of turkeys every semester. Come on! This is your chance! Grab it!
You have a point. A PhD in teaching in some backwater college is not my idea of existence. Well, still, it beats working for a living. Sorry, old buddy. I'm not going to climb on your merry-go-round. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because I'm drunk. That's why. You're not there at all. And that, your friendly little neighborhood time machine...
Time gate.
Whatever. It's not there either. Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed.
You're not drunk.
Man who can't hold his liquor shouldn't drink.
I am too drunk. Peter Piper picked a pick of peppered pickles. See? Good night.
You can't do that.
Let him alone.
Oh, no. I forgot about him. He's me, too. Why didn't I remember he was due to show up? I could have planned something.
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah. Suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're going to louse up the plan, you know?
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
Why, you arrogant son of a...
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello? Yeah, who's this? Hello? Hello?
Creepy. What was it?
Nothing, just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor.
There he is again.
Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
Oh, for crying out loud. Hang up on that simpering, clinging vine already.
You know,
it's nauseating to hear you fawning when Arma and friend are waiting just 30,000 years away.
What, this afternoon?
Bob Wilson, you shouldn't get involved with women 30,000 years younger than you. Talk about pederasty.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye.
Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are. Fine! Just step through.
Wait a minute. Do it.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army? All right, hey, let go of him! Stay out of this! I got everything under... Now you've done it.
Me? You knocked him through the gate. I never laid a finger on him.
But I'm ready to lay a few on you.
It's your fault. If you hadn't interfered, I wouldn't have had to do it.
Why, you...
Just cool it. Cool it. It's too late anyway. He's gone through.
Too late for what?
Too late to break the chain of events.
Why should we?
Because Dictor's played me, played you, played us. For a dope. A pair of dopes. Look, he told you he was going to set you up as a big shot over there, didn't he?
Yeah.
All talk. What he means to do is to get us inextricably tangled in this time gate while he rakes in all the chips.
That could be true. Certainly what's happened so far hasn't made much sense. After all, why should Dictor want my help? And badly enough to fork over half of his cushy setup.
How do you know?
Oh, why go into it?
Can't you take my word for it?
Why should I?
If you can't trust me, who can you trust?
That's pretty galling. It's inescapably logical, but it's galling. I'm tired. I'm really tired of just doing what I'm told, like a trained dog.
I'll take my chances. Where are you going?
I'm gonna have it out with Dictor.
No! Maybe we can break the chain even now. Go ahead. It's your funeral.
Oh, yeah? Well, if it is, then it's your funeral, too. Remember that. Ciao, baby.
Looking for something?
My hat.
One more little thing to take care of before we're all squared away. I must say I am pleased with you, Bob. Very pleased indeed.
Sorry. I can't say the same about you. What's the idea, huh? Shoving me into that daisy chain without a warning.
Calm down. If I told you that you were going back to meet yourself face to face, would you have believed me?
Okay, but you can tell me now. Why did you send me through the gate?
So that you could come through in the first place.
But I had come through.
Really? Then who was it that you found working on your thesis?
Me.
But you hadn't been through the gate yet.
Well, no, I...
So how could you have been through the gate unless you persuaded yourself to go through the gate?
Are you telling me... Wait, are you telling me that I did something because I was going to do something?
Well, didn't you? You were there.
No, I didn't. Well, yeah, maybe I did, but it didn't feel like... Well, hold it. Come on. I'm a physicist. This is impossible. It denies all reasonable theories of causation. I went through because I came back from going through to persuade myself to go through. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, didn't you? Don't worry about it. The causation you have been accustomed to is valid enough in its own field, but is simply a special case under the general case. Causation in a plenum need not be and is not limited by one's perception of duration.
Sounds nice, but slippery. How about entropy? You can't get around entropy.
You remind me of the mathematician who proved that aeroplanes couldn't fly. Come on, there's work to be done.
Damn it, you can't do this to me. Now, just what happened to the other two? The other two Bob Wilsons. How am I ever going to get unsnarled?
You aren't snarled. You don't feel like more than one person, do you?
Well, no, but...
Then don't worry about it.
But I've got to. What happened to the guy who came through just ahead of me?
Don't you remember? Look.
It's him. Asleep. Black eye, thick lip and all. Look at him. Curled up there in a drunken stupor.
Remember when I brought you here to dress your wounds? I gave you a drink. The drink contained a soporific that put you away for about 36 hours. Sleep you badly needed. And when you wake up, I'll give you breakfast and tell you what has to be done.
Don't do that. Don't call him me. I'm me.
Have it your own way.
Close the door, please.
Just as well. We've got to hurry. Now, once a sequence like this is established, there's no time to waste. I want you to return to the 20th century and obtain certain things for us.
What sort of things?
A good number of items. I've got a list. Excuse me. I must set the controls.
It may be handy for me to learn how to run this thing. It's a very interesting little gizmo. How does it work?
I don't know the mechanics, just the operation. These control space positioning. See? Up, down, forward, back, left and right. This controls time, past and future.
How can you tell where and when you are?
You look through this. Try it yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my room, all right. That's me there, and that's me too. Oh, and it's creepy.
Well, all right. Thank you. I've seen enough.
Good. Oh, mustn't forget to give you your list. Here.
He's railroading me.
You know, everywhere I go, I keep bumping into myself, and I don't like it. I feel like a whole cage full of guinea pigs. And now you want to rush me off again, and I don't know any more than I did before. Now what is going on?
You stupid, ignorant young fool. It would take weeks before you even started grasping what this all is. Months. I'm offering you half a world in return for a few hours' cooperation, and you argue with me.
Okay, Buster. No dicky, no washy.
Get away from those controls.
Something's dawning on me. In a minute, I'll have it.
Who are you?
I'm Dictor.
Come off it. You know what I mean. How did you learn English? I know you didn't learn it here. Huh? You're from my time, aren't you?
I wonder how long it would take you to figure that out.
Well, maybe I'm not right, but I'm not as stupid as you think. Come on, give me the rest of the story.
We're wasting time.
You've given me the rush with that line once too often. How can we waste time when we have that? Unless you lied to me, we can use any slice of time we want whenever we want to. Now, something's fishy, and I know how to settle it. You're coming with me.
You don't know what you're saying. Who'll manage the controls?
Not you, buddy. You'd send me through and lose me. I prefer to keep you in plain sight.
Out of the question.
I said keep away from those controls. There. That's better.
Now, if I'm right, this thing is still set for my room.
Stay right there. I want to see something.
And one leg up, and we're through the gate.
Nobody here but me, and I'm drunk. I've been working too hard. I'm going to go to bed. You're not drunk.
Well, well, well. Here I am, back at the beginning. This time I'll put a stop to this carousel.
Peter Piper picked the pickle pepper pickle. See?
You can't do that! Let him alone.
Aha! I see the guy with the shiner recognizes me. The other one. No, this is gonna be a job. He's stinko. Why would anybody pack so much booze away on an empty stomach? It wastes good booze. And I hope they left me something to drink.
Who are you?
He knows me.
Yeah. Suppose I do. What are you doing here? You're gonna louse up the plan, you know?
There's no time. I know more about it than you do, you'll admit that. And my judgment is bound to be better than yours. He does not go through the gate.
I don't admit anything of the kind.
Answer it.
Hello? Yeah, who's this?
Oh, nuts, I started this all wrong. Am I really as dumb as this guy? Do I come off like that to everybody?
Hello? Hello?
Creep.
What was it?
Nothing, just some nut with a misplaced sense of humor. There he is again.
Listen, Toadstool, if you want a good chuckle, go set fire to your shorts, but leave me alone.
Oh, hi, Genevieve. Look, I'm sorry.
Gotta make a plan.
No, you don't.
Now, this one is too drunk to be reasonable, so it's Joe that I gotta convince. I get his help, then we'll be two against one. I can deck the drunk. Joe will be a handful. Yeah, right. Work on Joe.
Sure, fine. Look, babe, I'm a little confused. Why don't I come over tonight and straighten it out? I know I didn't leave your hat in my apartment. Yeah. Anyhow, I'll see you tonight. Bye. Okay, Joe. I'm ready if you are.
This ain't what I planned.
Just step through.
Wait a minute.
Hey, listen, you. Who the hell do you think you are anyway? You want to make something of it, you? You and what army?
All right, I'll just put them away fast.
Stay out of this. I got everything under...
Lord, I've knocked them through again.
Now you've done it.
Me? You knocked him through the gate. I never laid a finger on him.
It's your fault. If you hadn't interfered, I wouldn't have had to do it.
Why, you...
Just cool it.
Lord, I hate being wrong. Well, it was hopeless from the start.
It's too late anyway. He's gone through.
Too late for what?
Too late to break the chain of events.
It was too late from the beginning. The process has to work itself out. It can't be stopped.
Why should we?
Because Dictor's played me, played you, played us for a dope, a pair of dopes.
Oh, what's the use? But damn it, I'm right.
Look, he told you he was going to set you up as a big shot over there, didn't he?
Yeah.
All talk. What he means to do is to get us inextricably tangled in this time gate while he rakes in all the chips.
How do you know?
How do I know? It's a hunch, that's all.
Oh, why go into it? Can't you take my word for it?
Why should I?
How arrogant can you get?
If you can't trust me, who can you trust?
I'll take my chances.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have it out with Dictor.
No! Maybe we can break the chain even now.
Oh, he's not going to listen to reason.
Okay, go ahead. It's your funeral.
Oh, yeah? Well, if it is, then it's your funeral, too. Remember that. Ciao, baby.
Whose funeral? Hadn't thought of it quite that way. Maybe I ought to go after that guy and make sure he doesn't get into a jam. Hey, suppose he gets himself killed? Where would that leave me? Wait a minute. He won't do anything. He can't do anything that I'm not going to do first. And if that's true, then the whole McGill is straightened out. I got away from Dictor. All the various Bob Wilsons are sorted out. And I'm back in my room. No worse than before. Except for needing a shave. Okay. First a shave. And then back to the grindstone. Obviously, the thesis has to be rewritten from scratch.
Yep.
Is that you, Bob?
Who's this?
Well, that's the second time you haven't recognized me today.
Genevieve, I've asked you not to phone me while I'm working.
Working? You weren't working this afternoon.
Just buzz off, okay?
Well, what makes you think you can sweet-talk me one minute and bark at me the next? I'm not any too sure I want to marry you anymore.
Marry you? You're taking a lot for granted, aren't you, kid?
Oh, you! No, so that's the game, is it? My father's a lawyer, a judge. There's a way to handle men like you.
You've had plenty of practice manhandling, my dear.
Oh, you're going to pay for that. Pay for it!
She's going to make things pretty hot for me. Somehow, I don't think this thesis is going to get done by 10 a.m. tomorrow. It's already 4 in the afternoon, even if I sat up all night. And then there's... Genevieve... 30,000 years from now is looking mighty good to me. The time gate is still there. Is that the smart thing to do? That's it.
Come on, there's work to be done.
Damn it, you can't...
Oh, that was close. All right, what now? Ah, of course. The gate's my best advantage. If I can figure out the controls... Can't see too well. It was so bright in here before. Hey, here's my hat. Glad to have you back, chapeau of mine. Now, let's see. I should have a match somewhere. Oh, Dictor's shopping list. A funny bunch of stuff on here. Still, it has certain logic of its own. Dictor does know the territory better than I do. Still,
I can work the gate. Yeah! I'll load up with all this, but for my benefit, not his. Yeah! I'll go back one more time. If I can get this thing to work.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Soup. Can you cash a check for me?
How much?
50.
Oh, I suppose so. It's good, isn't it, the check?
Not very. It's my own.
Yeah, all right. Well, I might invest in it as a curiosity.
I'll be needing a couple of items while I'm at it.
Like, for instance?
Well, some books. Machiavelli's The Prince, Behind the Ballots by James Farley, Mein Kampf, and How to Win Friends and
Influence People. Hold on. One at a time.
Well, let me write out the list for you. And then if you could pull these things for me while I run over to Maxwell's and get some other supplies.
Millennia is past the statute of limitations on bad checks, I presume.
Kinda early for Christmas shopping, ain't it?
Right here. Pull up to this alley. Now, can you wait a minute, please? I got a pile of this stuff in the alley.
In the alley? What are you, a fence or something? Is this stuff hot?
It's gone. I left the time gate here. No mistake, and now it's gone.
Hey, Mac, you want my cab or don't you? The meter's still running.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Where to?
That's a problem. Where can you go at this hour? Say, what hour is it?
Hey, you got the time?
2:15.
No wonder it hasn't gotten dark. The machine was set for earlier in the day. That means the time gate should be back at the room. Oh, yeah, but so are my blood brothers. Let me see, I finally left there around when? 4:15. Now, if I timed it right...
Drive to the corner of 4th and McKinley.
I thought you were working today.
Nope, not at all. Got time to burn. Well, you gonna invite me in? Where can I hang this hat?
At the tone, the time will be 3:26 and 20 seconds.
Bob Wilson?
Yeah, who's this?
Never mind. Just wanted to be sure you were there. I thought you would. You're in the groove, friend. In the groove. Well, just another 40 minutes to kill, and then we, then they, will all be gone. Well, that's the last of the goodies. Now, if I can just have about 5 minutes with these controls. Oh, Dictor would kill me if he finds me. Well, since I'm 30,000 years in the future, a decade or two won't matter to anybody, except to me. Now, I gotta set this up to let me out right here. There we go, maybe 10 years earlier. Now, if I can get a 10-year head start... He just end up the big cheese before Dictor even shows his face in these parts. After all, he admitted he was a 20th century man. There we go. Now, drag everything through the gate one more time, and if I'm lucky, I'll beat him here. So far, so good. Looks like the palace is completely empty. Boy, whoever the grand ones were who built this place, they sure had a strange idea of architecture. Well, here's the main entrance. Boy, those grand ones must have been pretty big cats. What else, they just liked plenty of headroom. Hark. Cavorting of the indigenous populace is heard without. Well, I guess it's time to find out if the natives are as friendly as advertised. Well, they've seen me. Don't seem to be running. Ain't coming closer, either. Oh, I get it. The palace is taboo. And by extension, so am I. Well, make the most out of it, Wilson, my lad. See if you can look important.
How? Me, Big Cheese. Me, Great White Grad Student. Me want food. Food, me hungry. Bring food. Well, don't just stand there, do something.
Dictor.
That's where he got the name. It's a title. Well, when Dictor 1 shows up, we'll just have to see who winds up head Dictor around here. Hey, they're kneeling. I like that. Oh, hell, this is like taking candy from a baby.
Like taking candy from a baby, you once said.
I recall that thought once crossing my mind many years ago.
10 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
10 years, you're right.
You were wrong. These last 10 years haven't been exactly carefree.
Well, not lazy and irresponsible, no. I've had many responsibilities.
Yes, after all, you were the ruler of an entire world.
Albeit a benign and surpassingly pleasant one.
Well, still, it's taken its toll. Your beard is streaked with gray.
Well, it makes me look distinguished, I think.
And rumor has it that you've started talking to yourself.
You don't mean it.
I'm serious. Talking to yourself, that's what they say.
You think it's true?
Well, I like to think of myself as an impartial third party. But that's not all.
What else could there be?
Your memory. Your memory is going.
Come off it. I'm only, what, 32 or 33? That only happens to very old men.
Well, you're 30,000 years older than most men.
What's wrong with my memory?
Have you forgotten? It's your 10th anniversary. You've been Dictor here for about 10 years.
Well, that means it was about this time that I first came through the gate.
Exactly. And you notice something? You had all these contingency plans for when you met up with this other Dictor gent. And yet in all this time, he's never shown.
That's right. And I haven't seen any of my little selves running around the palace either.
Ever get curious?
Curious about what?
About where everybody is, about the time gate.
Oh, no. I've been cured of curiosity about the time gate. Hey, remember that time when I was fiddling with it, and I actually caught a glimpse of one of the grand ones through the viewer?
How could I forget it?
We haven't been to the Hall of the Gate since.
Still, aren't you even the least bit curious about the other Dictor and all those other Bob Wilsons? After all, one great white father is all this place will support. What should happen if...
Oh, I catch your drift. Could create a scene, couldn't it? What should we do?
Well, maybe we should open the gate and probe around. See what the viewer will show us.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, we're here.
We're here. Yes, in the Hall of the Gate.
Yes, and you are, even as we speak, sitting at the controls.
Why, so I am.
See what I mean about your memory?
We can dispense with the sarcasm.
Then turn the thing on.
Now what?
Well, why don't you see if you can find your old digs at the university?
I'll be lucky to find the 20th century. I'm a bit rusty at this.
Well, the time is the easiest part. Hey, there, hold it right there. That looks about right time-wise. Let's see if we can get this down in your room.
Oh, that looks like Philadelphia.
Well, you're on the right continent. Now that's better. Oh, there's Billings Hall. That's the university.
I think if I adjust this north, just a few blocks... We were north, weren't we?
Oh, there's Manny's. Remember Manny's?
Only too well. Shall we go on?
Now you're getting warmer. There's the girls' dorm.
We were the next two buildings over, weren't we?
That's right, you've got it. There's the broom closet.
Well, if I can get this thing up two flights...
Very good. There's the head of the stairs. Now, they don't go up to another landing, so we must be at the third floor.
If I can just maneuver this to the end of the hall...
Watch it. No, that's Jake Kerbinski's room.
I know. Fine-tuning this thing isn't easy, you know.
Just keep it going straight. That's it. Straight.
Straighten it. Now right through that door.
What's that? Look there on the floor. Somebody's fallen through the gate.
Who is it? Krabinski?
Oh, my God. My God, my God.
What? What is it?
It's me. It's me, 10 years younger. I've fallen through. I've been punched through the gate. Just the way it happened 10 years ago.
30,010 years ago. What of it? You knew it could happen.
Yes. But we're the only ones here. You know what that means? I'm Dictor. The only Dictor. There's never been another Dictor.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I don't have to wait until he arrives for a showdown. There's never gonna be one because I'm him. He's me.
Well, that can't be right. What about all the little details?
What details?
Well, Arma, for instance. Remember Arma? The girl that Dictor gave you. You named that servant girl after her. Where is the original?
Arma is the original. That's the answer. They're one and the same. Arma Senior and Arma Junior, the same person.
But the original was prettier.
Oh, you're just jaded. I tell you, there's only one Dictor, and you're talking to him.
You're right.
All right, now he's waking up. Pull yourself together. Remember, you're Dictor. You've got to help him. He's gonna have a good life, a grand life. A life that beats anything the ancient past had to offer, and you have to see to it. You'll have to make a list of books for him to get. Books that will prepare him for creating this place. And
hey, if God created the world, who created God?
Cut out the philosophical stuff, will you? Before he catches you at it. You haven't the ghost of a chance of figuring this out, so why try? Just enjoy it. You're hot. Like a gambler who knows what the next roll of the dice is gonna be. Come on! His eyes are open. Talk to him. Say anything.
Are you all right?
Ooh, I guess so. My head hurts.
No doubt. You came through rather hard.
Came through? Where am I?
The Hall of the Gate in the High Palace of Norkal. But what is important is when you are. You have gone forward a little more than 30,000 years. Where are you going?
Back.
Not so fast. You'll go back all right, I promise you that. But first let me dress your wounds. You need rest as well. I have some explanations to make to you, and there is an errand that you can do for me when you get back, to our mutual advantage. There's a great future in store for you and me, my boy. A great future.
You have been listening to Richard Dreyfuss, starring in Robert A. Heinlein's By His Bootstraps, dramatized, produced, and directed by Yuri Rosovsky for the Hollywood Theater of the Ear. In our cast, Cordis Hurd, Ira Burton, and Kasia Marciniak.
Beyond 2000 is a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Ear, in cooperation with Dove Audio, an imprint of New Star Publishing. Stefan Rudnicki is series executive producer. Harlan Ellison, host and story consultant. Yuri Rosovsky, project director. And Laura Kellogg, production assistant. Jerry Summers composed the series' theme music. Other project assistance was provided by Mitch Plesner, John Tierney, Carol McFadden, Rusty Warren, and Dick Orkin Creative Services. Beyond 2000 is produced in the studios of Dove Audio Los Angeles and Warren Dewey Sound Design, Santa Monica.
must the heart please look around.
Shade of Winter, as performed by the Bangles. Great Simon and Garfunkel song, but they did a nice variant on it, I must say. You're tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, vibrating on the internet at WBAI.org, and otherwise just, you know, there are, you know, soon there will be certain drugs to take that you'll just be listening to us all the time. But if you pay enough for the drug, there won't be any pitching. It's really an amazing thing that they are developing for us. This is the soft launch of Hour of the Wolf because next week is a pitching week. And after that, we're going to go into it heavy. I am trying to sort of reformat the show in some ways. Linda thinks that I should speak earlier. Linda is the boss of me. And also, now I'm preceding James Irsay, who's waving at you if you're not watching. And, you know, no, I'm not going to play all Rachmaninoff. It's not going to happen, gang. But my musical choices and the aesthetic approaching the hallowed hour of 8 a.m. And the topics, I think, will, you know, I've known Irsay, how many years?
45
years.
Something like,
yeah, something like that. So we have a feel for what the other one does on the air, and I feel sorry for Irsay having to put up with mine. But at any rate, you know, he does one of my favorite shows on the station when I was on Saturdays preceding Rothenberg.
We both have Armstrong Award-winning records on.
That's right. That's right. I won an Armstrong for the free music store I produced with Peter Schickele. And all the work I had to do for that, which was I picked up a phone, called Schickele, who I knew through other means, and said, "Do you want to do a concert?" He said, "Sure."
He was my composition teacher.
Was he really?
Graduate student.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Which mic are you?
This is 4.
That's 4. Okay. So, Schickele used to say, I studied cafeteria at Juilliard.
He didn't seem like a particularly jolly guy. He was a very serious teacher. He didn't show that side.
His time at BAI, when he was preparing for his free music store, he took over Judy Sherman's desk.
Judy Sherman.
And was actually, I watched him put together, you know how he did these compositions of pre-created musics and like Eine kleine Nicht music and stuff like that. And I watched him actually literally
the seasonings
paste. Yes, he did that. Yeah, but that's something he composed.
Yes.
These were not compositions. These were not P.D.Q. Bach. These were Peter Schickele.
Uh-huh.
As is, of course, the theme music for my show. He did the theme music for my show. So I actually watched him literally with an X-Acto knife cut and paste and put it together on a music score. And I was a fanboy. Who wouldn't be? And I still am. I missed. This was the holiday week this past week. And I used to go every December 30th, of course it's my birthday, to see P.D.Q. Bach. Whether it would be Carnegie Hall or Town Hall or a couple of times Avery Fisher Hall. But his health is, he's done one concert in New York at Town Hall, and that was only put together thanks to where people go online.
Is that the one that was recorded and released?
I don't know if it was.
Because there's a concert of P.D.Q. Bach that is the most hysterically funny ever.
There are five live P.D.Q. Bach concerts and one videotape. Hmm. But this was about 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, his new appreciations in musical horizons where you know this, Jim. I know you do. It's Beethoven's Fifth, and it starts. And Schickele with, I don't remember who it was in the album, but he had, Elliot from QXR.
Elliot Forrest. It's the one you're
Elliot about. Forrest.
Yeah.
And their sports casting.
Yeah, that's great.
And he's off with a 4-note theme and a C major.
It's classic.
Oh, my God. And to watch them doing it live.
That's a classic.
You know. But Peter was in a wheelchair. He's not as mobile as he used to be. But I assume he's working. And bless
him.
What a wonderful person. How lucky you were to study.
He was a good teacher.
Uh-huh. And was there a specific thing that he was teaching?
Composition. I had private composition.
Whoops. That's still playing. Now, you see, I have a friend who attended Juilliard by the name of Sharon Griffiths, who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that they how do you log out of this sucker? She said that they were not big on composition when she was there because they were a conservatory and not there to teach new music.
Which place are we talking about?
Juilliard.
They were not keen on teaching new music at Juilliard?
On composition, yeah.
Really?
That's what she said.
I had some serious new music teachers at Juilliard. Nothing crazy.
Frank Zappa came out of there, I know.
I studied with Jacob Druckmann also.
Ooh.
He was a serious guy.
Yeah, absolutely was. And am I wrong by saying, by thinking that at one point Elliot Carter?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Okay. So
that's serious.
That's serious composition. Doesn't get much more.
And it's new. I mean, he's completely atonal.
It's new music. So. I mean, remember the Candy Cohen era of the free music store.
I remember you standing by the door taking donations, standing by the big bottle.
I was the door gnome.
You were the door gnome.
I was the door gnome.
Door gnome.
And gnome, exactly. And when one woman from BAI took it over, we referred to as the Ms. Nomer. Okay, that was Kenny Davis's joke. At any rate, that was good.
Of course.
Yeah.
Kenny Davis, is he still walking the earth?
Yes. Yes, bless him.
Good.
And his wife, Erica.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going out in just a moment, James. When I start my outro, Sales of Silver by Steel I Span, I will get up and you're free to fade it at any time whatsoever. But what I'll do is outro now, because we only have 2.5 minutes.
Well, that's not very long.
Yes, exactly. So I am going to say now that this has been Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund. I may or may not be back next week. Depends on pitching schedule. They just put out a new one. And if not, I will be back with a hard launch, as it were, of this show in 2 weeks.
If you want, you can launch my theme music before you get up, and that'll
oh, I could do it. I've started playing my outro music.
Well, that's right. All right. You want to leave your outro music going then?
And then you can fade it any time.
Yeah,
it's very flexible.
I'll fade it around,
piece of music
around 8:50, I guess. I'll fade it at 10 o'clock.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, this is going to be fun, working with James on these times. I know it's nerve-wracking because setting up before your show, ideally we would have two studios. But you know what? We'll talk more next week or the week after about this stuff. In the meantime, I'm so pleased to be in your air proximity.
It's very, very nice to see you, Jim. Really.
Likewise.
Is. Very nice.
It's been years, literally. So thank you all for listening. This has been Hour of the Wolf. Write me, J-F-R-E-U-N-D at ourwolf.com, about those things we discussed earlier.
By the way, they should know there's an H in Our Wolf.
Yes, it's H-O-U-R. It's an hour.
Because it's not the wolf that belongs to all of us.
Yes, it's the crepuscular hour. Okay, we are up to your time slot. I go by that clock, not according to this one. You started 2 minutes ago. So I'm saying good morning to everybody and saying you've got to stay tuned for Morning Ursae because, well, one of our best shows.
Hi, everybody. Oh, it's so nice to see Jim Freund. I see him every now and then in my peripheral vision, you might say. But it's been some time since I've actually been across the studio from Jim. An old soldier like myself. It's heading up towards 8:02 this Sunday morning. Happy New Year, everybody. Or as they say in Brooklyn, Happy New Year's. And you're listening to WBAI in New York, and it's time for Morning Ursae. Let's begin it right now. It's the piece of music that always describes the mysterious East. You can see the camel caravans crossing the desert in that music. It's the iconic Eastern music. Do you know what it is? It's Oriental, Oriental, written by Cesar Cui. It's his Opus 50, number 9. Opus 50 of Cesar Cui is called Kaleidoscope, and it comprises 24 pieces for violin and piano. That's right. It was not written for orchestra. It was written for violin and piano. I'm not sure exactly who made this transcription for orchestra, but it works very nicely. And the unnamed orchestra was directed by Joseph Pasternak, so maybe that's who transcribed it. A pleasure to be with you. Did I tell you who the violinist was, by the way? Hang on a minute. There. I cleared my throat. You didn't want to hear it, believe me. Oh, James, why'd you turn the mic down? You should only know. The violinist. Such a sweet, beautiful, commanding, secure musical sound. That had to be a great violinist, don't you think? You hear that playing and you think, this is no amateur. That was Misha Elman. That's right. We're going to have a few performances of Misha Elman this morning. And that was the first. Great playing. Really great. Misha Elman, born Mikhail Saulovich Elman. I've also seen him listed as Moshe Elman. I guess that's his Hebrew name. His father was a klezmer guy. And he was born in a town somewhere between Kiev and Odessa, where so many great musicians were from. My maternal grandmother came from Odessa. In Odessa, Misha Elman studied with Alexander Fideman, who was a student of the famous Adolf Brodsky, who was a famous chamber musician, not to mention that he was the dedicatee of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, Brodsky. Elman had a very long career. His recordings spanned the 78 era all the way to stereo LP. That's right. It's like 60 years of recording. He started very young. His first recording, I believe, for Pathé was in 1907. And that would make him 16 years old. First recording at 16. He debuted at age 13, his big debut, but he'd performed a lot earlier than that. He was performing already at, 8 years old. He was one of those, a major, major prodigy. When he was 11, he played for Leopold Auer, the famous teacher Leopold Auer. And Auer later recalled his first meeting with Misha Elman. And this is what Auer wrote later on in life, and I quote, "The boy, who was about 11 years old and very small for his age, with tiny hands, played a concerto for me. In the difficult passages, he skipped about in the hand positions, we should say, as an acrobat does on his ladder. The concerto finished, I knew at once what my decision must be." That is to say, he accepted him, because the meeting was all about auditioning for Leopold Auer to be a student. And he knew at once what his decision must be, and the rest is history. And Elman played all over the place. What was his calling card? Why did everybody love him so much? Because of what you just heard. He played warmly, soulful phrasing, and of course he could do anything technically. Though Auer apparently did not stress technique in his teaching, because he heard his little student could do anything. So I thought, well, he doesn't need technical training. Let's just teach him music. And that came back to bite Elman later in life.